When my children were little, every now and then I used to watch their television shows, right? Their movies, and so one of their favorite movies was Mary Poppins, okay, the old version. And I gotta admit, I gotta confess that it's one of my favorites as well. In the movie, Mary Poppins describes herself as practically perfect in every way. Practically perfect in every way. This morning, Jesus is teaching the disciples to be perfect as their Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, what I'd like to do is to borrow what Mary Poppins said in being practically perfect. Because if we study the Greek and Aramaic of that word perfect, that word does not mean flawless like God. What that word means is complete and undivided. So, Jesus could have also said, be complete and undivided as your Heavenly Father is complete and undivided. So, the way we can describe a disciple, the way that we can define a disciple, is this way. A disciple is practically complete and undivided in every way. Again, at first glance, it is impossible for us to be perfect, right? It's impossible for us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. However, it is possible for us to be complete and undivided in our faithfulness. Now, John Wesley took seriously Jesus' invitation for us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. By perfection, John Wesley, again, did not understand perfection to be flawlessness or being without sin. John Wesley understood perfection to mean maturity in faith. Now, John Wesley also understood that there was a way to grow in that maturity, right? There's a way to grow in that maturity. And to understand that growth and maturity, I need to share with you that three movements of grace that I'm sure many of you have heard before, but the three movements of grace that John Wesley defined for us, the first one are these. The first one is prevenient grace. And prevenient grace is being unaware of God's love for us. Justifying grace is that moment when we become aware of God's love for us. And sometimes that time when justifying grace occurs, it can happen in a conversion, it can happen in our prayer life, it can happen in a relationship in which one forgives the other. And the inspiration and thought of God's presence and love for us comes by grace. And sanctifying grace is growing in God's love. It's a maturation in the love of God. So we have prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying grace. And sanctifying grace is that maturation process. Sanctifying grace is holy living. It is growing in the grace and the love of the knowledge of God's love for us. All right? So sanctifying grace is what the work of the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives that we may be perfected in love. We cannot be perfected by the law. The law is the law. And we have to have law, right? We have to have laws in our community and in the world, and we have to have spiritual commandments, laws that are important, that are effective. However, we can follow all the laws, but still not be perfected in love. The most important commandment of all is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So sanctifying grace is growing in the knowledge and the love of God in our lives. Now, again, Wesley believed that we could be perfect, complete, and undivided in love in this life. And that doesn't mean that once we become complete and undivided in our love in this life, that from here on out that we're going to be perfect in love with everyone that we meet, right? No. We will reach that at different times in our life. And sometimes we will fall, right? Sometimes we will sin, but we will go back to that familiar place of perfect love to practice that with God and others and ourselves. So we're not free from mistakes once we reach perfect love. We're not free from temptation. We're not free from failure. We're not. However, we can recover because we are familiar with the love and the presence of God in our life. I was sharing this with the children, that quilt that my grandmother, her name was Mama Demetria, Spanish name, and Demetria was a translation, and I love my Mama Demetria. She lived a powerful life. My great-grandfather and his best friend went to Mexico to buy cattle from Valentine, and on the way back, they were sleeping one night under a tree, and both of them were murdered, right? And so she was pregnant with my great-uncle, Rodrigo, and my great-grandmother made a living washing clothes for the uniforms and the people from one of the local forts close to Valentine, Texas, for the U.S. Army. That's how she made her living, raising seven children, right? Raising seven children. If you drive through Valentine, Texas, it's no longer there, but there's a Texaco gas station sign there. That was my Uncle Rodrigo's gas station. And so we used to love to go into that gas station, and he would give us a little slice of bologna, a grape bet, and a moon pie, and get us out of there so we could leave him alone. But that's what we did, you know. That's that place. And I remember her very, very well. And at night, at the end of the day, she would go out onto her porch, and I have her bench where she would sit down, and she would light up one of those no-filtered Camel cigarettes, right? Every night she would do that. And I would go sit with her, and she would have her quiet time with her family and with her children and with her Lord, and we would pray and have fellowship. And she loved to quilt. She loved to quilt. That was her therapy. And I love my Mama Demetria. Was she perfect? No, but she was perfect for me. She was perfect for that community. She was perfect in faith, and she was good as they come. And I loved her. I'm going to give you another metaphor for what it means to be made perfect and complete and undivided in this world. When I first came to serve as your pastor, my first Sunday, I met a man by the name of Dwight Williams. And Dwight Williams came up to me And the first question he asked me, and I kid you not, was this: do you like to shoot? And if so, what kind of rifle do you have? Now, if you didn't know Dwight, that would be kind of a spooky sort of thing to hear, but Dwight was a Special Forces soldier in Vietnam, and he was a firefighter and has fought some of the biggest fires, oil tanker fires in the world. In fact, the U.S. military hired his company to go follow the U.S. soldiers in their way to Iraq after Saddam Hussein blew up the oil rig. So he was in charge of putting those fires out. And in his 44 years of doing that work, he never lost a man. I asked him, what's your greatest accomplishment? He said, I never lost anybody. I never lost any employee in fighting those fires in my 44 years of firefighting. So I go out to Dwight's every so often to shoot. And Dwight is a long-distance shooter. And he doesn't use a scope. He uses a peep sight. His longest target is 1,123 yards, the white buffalo target in Raton, New Mexico. So I go out there, and I'm just watching this master rifleman shoot 700 yards with no scope, mind you, and hit the target. You know, he does that on a regular basis. And so he's taught me how to shoot better, and I've become a better shot because of him. But one of the things that I've learned from Dwight is that being a perfect shooter, being a good shooter, doesn't mean hitting the bullseye. It means having the tightest groups. Now, you want to get as close to the bullseye as you can, right? But you want to get the tightest groups of 2 to 3 to 4, right? Shots at a time. Perfection to Dwight doesn't mean hitting the bullseye. It means being consistent in your shooting. I know this is not the kind of metaphor that you're accustomed to hearing from your pastor, but I'm trying to make ministry relevant, right? And so visit with me anytime you want about that, because I'd be happy to talk to you about it. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ isn't about being flawless, because the Pharisees understood that to be so. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means being complete and undivided. And one time my daddy told me this. When I was a teenager and thought I knew everything, my daddy said, and I caught him on something, I said, and my dad said, son, I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect for you. And he was right. He was right. That shut me up like that. So being a disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't mean flawless. Doesn't mean sinless. To be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect means to be complete and undivided. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. Even then in our life, God offers us grace. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. Amen. But that very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the saint, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought, and our prayers are clumsy and selfish, but the Lord God knows and intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The one beatitude that speaks to being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect is a beatitude found in chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That doesn't mean that we have to be complete and undivided 24/7, 365. What it does mean is this, is that we are maturing in our life and our faith. willing to receive the grace that God gives us and to offer others the grace that God has given us. So today, I will share with you, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be practically complete and practically undivided in all matters of life and of faith. In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.